Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conscious Awakening series. I'm your host, Sheila Seppi, and my intention with this podcast is to support you in your spiritual and cosmic growth. Now, each week we explore inspiring stories of resilience, triumph, transformation, empowerment, and normalizing the conversations around the unordinary topics right here on the Conscious Awakening Network. To speak with us today is CJ Barnaby. Now, CJ is a multi-experiencer of contact with spirits, aliens, UFOs, multi-dimensional beings, and a whole lot more. His journey in life has been multidisciplined with deep dives into conscious exploration through plant medicine, meditation, ecstatic dance, breath work, and chaos magic, which I'm dying to hear more about. He is the host for the Super Normalized podcast, where he talks to people about their life experiences in contact with the other and explores how spiritual growth is a journey that is a pathway that we all walk. So, welcome to Conscious Awakening Podcast, CJ.
Thanks so much for having me, Sheila. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I'm sure we are going to have a great conversation. This is only the third time I've been interviewed, so just bear with me.
I think we're going to have a blast, as a matter of fact. And I was wondering if you could start us off by sharing with our audience a little bit more about yourself and your experiences with the other.
I'll frame it up first of all that I was born into a sort of strange situation in life. My mother got pregnant sort of secretly because she was in a sort of state of infidelity with her husband at the time, and she was seeing the neighbor next door, and because the husband was running away doing things and for work, so I was sort of like a child that wasn't. I was in the shadows, you should say, and because of that, my mother went away to another state to give birth to me, because she wanted to sort of suppress all of that story around what was happening with her. And as a result of that, I was adopted out at the age of 28 days. Now, when I was adopted, like I have no idea of this because I'm a very small child at that stage. But when I was adopted out, I was taken by another Australian family and raised by them. And from a very early age, I had this sneaking suspicion that something was not right. And it's like, who are these
Got it.
people? But I could tell they meant well because they keep me alive, so that was a good thing. Growing up with them, I did notice that sort of unusual sort of difference that in the way we communicated and things like that. I was like, oh, I don't know who these people are, but they're nice. And but I do recall one day we're living in Manly, which is a like a beach sort of town in Sydney, like Northern Beaches, and it was a very, very hot day, and I was in my nappy. I was very small still, and the rain had started out the back, and it was really strong, very intense rain, and I could feel the power of it. And I remember actually walking over to the back door and putting my face up against the screen and looking out in the backyard and feeling the power of all that rain and then the lightning and the thunder. And in that moment I knew that's power. And I want to know what that means and what that is, but I could feel this connection to nature and to the power of it and the beauty of nature at the same time. And that's pretty much started me on my whole life journey, I think, which was, it's sort of like a search for power, but also deep connection.
Yeah, that deep connection is really important to all of us. And, sometimes we have deep connections with the spirit realm as well. And so, as I have been talking with you and you sharing some of the experiences you have, I'm just wondering, before we get into those individual experiences, if you can tell me a little bit more about chaos magic and what's that?
So when we're children, we all know magic, and and the world is magic, and everything is magic all of the time. And I think we over time lose that because we sort of are instructed and guided by people around us that, oh, that's not true. You can't talk to a tree. No, you can't, talk to the fairy over there and things like that. And they, for when we're kids, that's all normal. So as we grow out of that, there is something that is can be in some of us yearning. And for me, that yearning was always there. And I practice magic, what I call, it's like an open hand magic where I use intention and belief, and then I do like a movement with my hand, just sort of like unconsciously when I went and I would change. I believe that something was going to change because of what I've done, and a lot of times it did. It worked, and for me that was amazing. These things actually work, and there is power in this belief. And over time, I learned more and more about that by just basically doing it and going through several experiences in life where I had to use magic to get my way through. And it gave me a firm belief in sort of the realm of magic as being a part of our world. And so I was doing sort of like a method where I was taking what worked and dumping what didn't. And I didn't know this, but there was a group of people which were exploring this as well, and they had called it chaos magic. And chaos magic actually comes from Austin Spare. He was an artist from the early 1900s, and he found a way to communicate. I think, I'd like to call like a communication with the greater universe. And imagine that we're embedded in a colony of spirits that actually looking over our shoulder and informing us and helping us through life all of the time. And there's ways to communicate with them. And I think magic is one of those bridges. And Austin Spare discovered the Austin Osman Spare? I think it was, okay, Austin Spare, I think it is. He found a way to actually connect with that through writing sigils. And a sigil is a like a It's a really good question itself. A sigil is like a drawing on a piece of paper of a certain sort of shape and pattern that makes sense to you, that communicates, I think, to the spirit team that are sitting around you and watching, going, oh, he wants that to happen, because they see you do that and
Like
perform
an
that action.
icon.
An icon of sorts, that's right, yeah. And so he developed a way for that to actually happen. So over time, other people took up his mantle, and that became chaos magic. I really don't like the word for it because people think chaos, oh no, disorder and all sorts of disaster. But from what I've seen, it's more like it's more orderly than that. And a lot of people are very conscious of what they do with it as well. And I mean, when you get power, and it seems to help to channel that in the right directions. So that's what
Awesome.
I think chaos magic is.
Now, I want to come back and talk in a few minutes about some of your specific experiences that you've had, but I have to say, I love your logo and I love the name of your podcast, Super Normalized. How did you start that? What sparked your interest?
Okay, so I drive a lot as a part of my other work, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I was listening to one called the Confessionals a lot. And Tony Merkel on that show talks a lot to a lot of people, and the overarching theme that I got from that for myself was that a lot of people have stories about things that have happened to them that are unusual, and they often have to suppress. And I could really relate to that. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I've always had that too, because I'm the sort of person that would go into a room and people would start talking to you, and I'd say, oh, you ever seen a UFO? Or I'd talk about things like that, and or I'd talk about my contact with spirits. And a lot of people would glaze over in their eyes and then go, oh, that's interesting, and you could just tell. Like, I think that's their way of saying, this guy's nuts, we should step back slowly. But that's not true, right? It's just that they have had experiences too, but they usually don't, they've suppressed them too, right? And so I found, I thought that, well, the best thing I could do is actually help normalize that, because I've never had a place to actually talk about it myself. So super normalized is, for me, is that it's like a way for me to talk about these experiences, because I've had a lot of them myself. And in doing so, talking to others who have had experiences as well. And I thought, well, the best way to do that is to start the podcast. And I've done that, and I've now talked to so many people and had so many beautiful conversations that I know help other people, because people come and tell me, they say, I listened to that podcast, it was great. So I'm happy that's happening. Yeah, I think a lot of people actually, because I'm as a part of it too, there's healing modalities that people talk about as well. And I love that, because a lot of the healing modalities are sidelined because the way the world is right now, people don't want to talk to the people that are, doing traditions of greater understanding through intuition and connecting to spirits and connecting to the greater world that is.
Right. Now, speaking of connecting, a lot of times people use meditation, or they use the plant medicines or dance or breath work, any of these types of things to make contact. Can you tell me about your experience with these? And I'm just going to call them practices.
Practices, yeah, okay. So I have many ways that I've actually connected to spirits, and my first of all way that I learned as a child was actually just keeping still. And what I mean by that is like stilling not only the body but the mind, and making a full practice of that itself. And what I discovered as a small child was, first of all, just being completely still. And in doing that, you can you, eventually the mind shuts up. You actually have a mind that keeps on going and talks and talks and talks about everything. But if you keep still, it actually you got to lead it into stopping talking. And once you get that stopping talking space sort of happening, it's a space of where other things can come, and other things can come to you and then start talking to you. And it's completely natural. I found for you to have spirits come talk to you at that sort of stage. And I did that through meditation, first of all. As I got a little bit older, I did find that trying to be normal, like trying to be actually one with the crowd and everything, was actually a bit detrimental to me. I suppressed a bit of that meditation practice, and I suppressed my, talking to spirits and all of that, just to try and fit in with people. And that for me caused a lot of anxiety and a bit of depression at the same time too. And it wasn't healthy, and I didn't realize it wasn't healthy, and I didn't realize that you could also just, it's okay to be weird. And,
Weird's where it's at, my friend.
that's right. And in embracing that, and coming back to that again, I found a way back to that through plant medicines. And the plant medicines that worked for me, instantly, one of the first times that I went on a journey on a certain plant medicine, as soon as I opened up to it and opened up to the greater world, it was like, oh my God, this is the same as my childhood. I'm straight here again. And all it is just being open and having that openness to allow other things, other understandings to become prevalent.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can you share with us a little bit about your specific experiences that you've had with UFOs, sightings, or
Yeah, sure.
even with our star family?
Okay. So, all right. So I've had contact with the star family. When was that? Probably when I was about 30. And I was going through actually quite a tough time because of my. Well, if you know a bit about astrology, there's a Saturn return that happens, and when that happens, it can stir up a lot of things. And for me, it was all around identity, who I was, who I am, what I am into the world and things like that. And I was being challenged by all sorts of events and experiences around me. At a certain stage, I was in a really sort of tough place, and I was outside and I was meditating, looked up at the stars, and Pleiades was there, and I had a connection to the Pleiadians, and they were like, yeah, you're one of us, it's okay, you're going to get through. And that helped me a lot at that time. Other contact that I've had as well since then, well, for the first time ever, my wife only recently, I think it was about nearly 1.5 months ago, we were standing on our balcony at night, and it was just after sundown, so there was quite a lot of satellites just crawling across the sky. And I'm pointing them out, and I'm showing her how to find them, and she's pointing them out, and I'm pointing them out. And then she goes, "Look at that one." And this one was actually going in a sideways direction, completely different to the other ones, 4 times the speed, and then it starts turning. And I'm like, "Oh, look at that. That's definitely not a satellite, that one." And she said, "Is that a UFO?" And I said, "Yeah, that's a UFO." And she said, "This, that's not much." And I said, "Yeah, well, most, UFO experiences are pretty normal." So, so it was one of those sort of moments like that. But previous to that, only 4 months previous to that, I was outside and going to get in my car just before sunrise, and a super bright one came over, and first of all, very fast, slowed down, and then turned in a nice sweet arc across the sky towards another direction. I was like, "Wow, that's definitely another one." Like, it was as bright as the sun, like a small sun just going past, and that was beautiful. But and the thing is, I find too, when these happen, I mean, the one with my wife, I didn't feel like a big psychic connection with it, but the one with the bright sunlight-like one, that felt conscious. It was like, "Oh, that knows I'm here, and I can know it's there." Now, previous to that, I'd had other ones, and one time I was at a beach with my partner at the time and her girlfriend, and we were sitting watching the stars, and it was a very warm summer's night again, and it's a very quiet beach. It was in Byron Bay, and which is south of where I live now. And we're sitting there watching, and there was a light that sort of popped up on the horizon, and I knew that wasn't just a light.
A light is not just a light
It's
when you
not
see
just a light.
it
That's right. Yeah, you can see it with your mind and your soul. And I was like, "Ah, that." And I said, "That's some of our space brothers over there." And my other friend said, "Yeah, I think it is too." I said, "Well, how about we call them in?" And they said, "Yeah, why not?" And I said, they said, "How do you do it?" And I said, "Well, let's just talk to them with our minds and come get them to come." And this light came from the horizon towards us rather rapidly, getting larger and larger. And it got to a point where my partner at the time said, no, stop it. No, that's too, it's getting too real now because it's getting really big." And she said, "Can you stop it? Can you stop it?" And I said, "Yeah, we can stop it." And we all decided for it to not come closer, and stopped. And then it started going back out again. And then a couple of black helicopters went straight over us, right over the top of us,
Yes.
and going out to sea towards it. And I'm like, "That's just more confirmation."
Yes, absolutely. Now, when you have these types of experiences, not only do they just rock your world, but they also really begin to imprint on your reality and your understanding of consciousness. And I'm wondering how have these sightings or these contacts really impacted your understanding of consciousness?
Ooh, okay. So, as a part of my self-suppression and trying to be normal, I sort of fell into a bit of a rationalist, sort of materialist, sort of framework. It seems like that's just what happens when we start to deny your connection to spirit and your connection to nature and your connection to animism. And it's like you have to rationalize everything. And I found that going into that, it did add a filter to my world, which it's not as clear as it could be, because you put a like a it's a colonialized mindset. It comes from the West. It comes from structure. It comes from a way of the world, dealing with it in a way that you'd probably say is like sort of like scientific. And it feels good because it feels like you have control of the world, but it's not true. And as a part of that suppression, when these contacts with spirit, I'll call them, or contacts with our plasma friends, or our contact with our alien friends. When that pops into your world, it's like they pop in to push all of that silly story out of the way. So you've got that going on, but try to explain this. You know what I mean? It's like
Exactly.
you can't have all of that going and this, because you know the "and this" is like the fly in the ointment. It's gonna say no, there's more to everything, and what you've got as a framework is just a framework.
Right. You know, I've had many conversations with people talking about various sightings, various contacts, whether it's during dream state, meditation, etc. And of course, those conversations then lead in to the disclosure movement. And there's a lot of debate about the disclosure movement. And a lot of people thought, with all of the congressional hearings that took place last year, that there was going to be this huge disclosure. And one of the things that we've kind of talked about in some of the circles that I've been discussing this with is with this disclosure movement, you know, many people are, well, first, some people are just like, yay, it's about time, woohoo. And then other people are like, disclosure, what do you mean? What do you mean there's extraterrestrials and this, that, and the other? And then, of course, we get all types of different spins, backtracks, etc. And so, when it comes to the disclosure movement, one of the conversations is if the star family is disclosed, then there's many, many other things that have to start coming forward. That's just kind of like the first worm out of the can. And I'm wondering what's your viewpoints on the disclosure movement?
It's okay. So I think what happens in history as we go along is when things are the right time, the right things happen. Okay. And at the moment, we're at the disclosure movement level of things. And I don't know. I'm finding more and more people are becoming open towards the understanding that we are a part of a greater infinite universal culture, and I think that even though we do understand that, that is also still being suppressed, and the disclosure movement can be part of that story, but and I also do see it that it can be also a managed part of that story, and I think over time that we're learning that there are these infinite dimensions and infinite beings and basically every direction all of the time, and in time we will have deeper connection and be able to cross through all the dimensions at will with connection to what would you call it, the infinite soul, which we all are. And I think that's just something that happens over time. And so the disclosure movement it is at the right time. It is the right place. It will eventually come out. While we have such gated sort of understanding towards it, gated meaning that it's like it is. We're only getting certain aspects of it, I think. Otherwise, the people that, I mean, I think the people that gated it themselves actually think that if we know too much, then maybe that it could, they would probably lose control of all of us, And I think that's possibly true too, because I mean, if we all had the understanding that we are infinite all of the time, and we can all instantly heal, and we can all, basically fly amongst the stars instantly at any time, what's stopping us?
Exactly. 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 That's right. So when we, you know, when we think about these types of experiences, and then we jump back to the experiences like with World of Spirit, you know, we're looking at, you know, really two different realms. How do you see these intersecting with each other?
Well, they intersect with each other continuously. It's like the world of spirit is having a dialogue with us through everything all of the time. So imagine that. I mean, how can I give an example of this? My wife was talking the other day about her experience when she was at a retreat one time, and she had a contact with a crow, and the crow was, first of all, was just far away in a tree, but she knew it was talking to her. And then, so she started talking to it, and then it came over and it sat down next to her, and she was talking to it, and it was talking to her, and they were having a conversation. And it wasn't exactly a verbal conversation, but it was still a conversation, and she knew what was going on, and it knew what was going on as well. And then, as she was packing up her stuff to leave, it jumped on her head and sat on her head and was just cawing away there, and everyone was like, "What's going on here?" But that's a contact, right? So, and so these that was a message for her that she got and she understood at the time. So I believe that the world itself is always communicating to us and through us to assist in this change, I think, of actual real disclosure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you've been on this path, as you said, even since a child. So I'm sure that you have seen since that time lots and lots of changes as far as people's attitudes towards what they're beginning to experience. And I'm just wondering how those early contacts for you really helped to shape and to mold you into who you are today.
Okay, so what I found was the actual contact that I had with spirits. First of all, when I was really young, I didn't know any different. So at first, it was scary, and I didn't know what to do with it. And one of my first experiences was, I think, of about 5 years old, and I had a bad dream, and I went into my parents' room, and the wardrobe itself turned into a face and started talking to me, and I was like, "Whoa, there's a spirit talking through that." Scared me even more. So, so at first I was scared by spirits, but that was just somebody trying to talk to me, and I didn't have a framework to put it in. And like, if my parents understood, they probably said, "Oh, that's just a spirit talking. Don't worry about it." And that would have been cool, right? But they didn't know that. So, but over time, I learned that, and I got to a stage, I think it was about when I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and I had a spirit friend that was living in the house, and it would actually move objects for me if I asked, which was really cool. And one of the
Your own
things,
personal Ouija board, huh?
yeah, almost, yeah. But one of the things that I loved that it could do is, if I was sitting on my book in my bed reading a book, and my door was open, there was a bit too much noise in the house, I could say, "Can you just close the door?" And it would close the door for my bedroom door. And I thought, "Oh, that's really cool. I should probably show my friends." And then I got it to the point where we could close and open the door, and I got my friends around and said, "Watch this." And we closed every door and window in the house, so there's no wind at all. And I said, "Come in here and sit down." They all sat down in my bedroom, and I said, "Watch this." And I said, "Close the door." And the door closed, and they looked at me like, "What's going on here?" I said, "You should see it. Can open too." And I said, "Open the door," and the handle turned, and the door opened. And my friends were like, "Oh, I don't know what's going on here." They were like freaked out completely, and they cast me as even more of a weirdo at the time. So,
I can relate to that because I know that just the other day I was thinking, I've got to call this particular lady, and my phone dialed her. I didn't even touch it.
it
It just
happens.
dialed.
It's
And
cool, isn't it?
the printer, I thought, oh, I need to print this, and it just starts printing. And so one of the things I'm observing is it seems like people's ability to manifest are really being heightened. There's so much discussion of, I just got a text, I think it from Ulapa, in Mexico. Someone said, oh, did you know that there's 12 Arcturian ships that's entered the atmosphere and now they're down stationed around Ulapa? I'm like, No, I didn't know that, but thanks for letting me know. And then someone else is saying, did you know? Did you know? Did you know?
Yeah, cool.
So many people are talking about these things, and they're also saying that they're believing that with these new presences in the atmosphere, that it really is helping to raise the vibration of humanity. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but just like the phones dialing, the computers, printing, and all of those things, I'm just wondering if the presence of these other beings, may be actually raising that vibration of humanity, because there is, such a breakaway of the 3D thought norms versus the higher thinking. And those individuals in that higher thinking are the ones that's having these very, very unique experiences. But then I've also thought it could be because they're really focused more in the higher realm, letting all the lower stuff go, and manifestation is just happening quicker. What are your thoughts about that?
I think you're right in saying that. I'll give an example of why I think so. So I was doing a really heavy meditation series for probably about nearly a year. And as a part of the meditation, I would put myself in a certain position and seated position and let go of everything and. I saw that as my daily reset because I was at work when I was doing this, and so at my lunchtime I'd go into the lunchroom, and I was the only person there, and the other person was actually managing the front of a shop I was working in, and I'd just go into a deep meditative state, and I did this as a conscious practice every day for a very long time, and then I hit this just. Like eternal infinite space, one time, and I was really deep in it. And but then I started noticing that I was still completely aware of the world around me. And this other voice popped in and said, "You're going to be like this for a while now. Just open your eyes." And I was like, "Okay, I'm a bit crazy, but who
There
are
you go.
you?" And she told me her name, and I said, "Why are you female?" She said, "You're more likely to listen to a female right now, so I'm a female."
There you go.
And so we ended up doing a quite a lot of work together for about 1.5 years. But during that time, I was living in a house with a whole lot of other people. It was a share house, so there was lots of people. It was bands. It was lots of craziness and all sorts of stuff. But I did notice that I wanted to in like share what she was teaching me with meditation and connecting to the world to others. And I said, "How do I share that?" And she said, "You don't have to do anything." She said, "Because you're raising your vibration, you'll watch people around you will start changing as well." And I did
Yes.
notice that over a period of about 6 months, everyone around me started to change and dropping all these bad habits and communicating better, and things were just getting better, and it was her influence on me, and then my influence on others, and that was
That's
the present.
beautiful.
Yeah, so the frequency raising does definitely change everything, and I'm certain that if we have our light ships all appearing around, it's going to change things.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And, I had this beautiful conversation with Mary Rodwell from your neck of the woods. Well, probably not exactly right there, but, and, we were talking about the Star Children. And she was sharing some of the amazing stories about these star children who are awake and aware of who they are on the planet at this time and the energies that they're bringing and anchoring in. So we have star children on the planet. We have walk-ins, obviously, on the planet. We have tons of star seeds waking up, understanding who they are, where they're from. We have people who are waking up to the fact that they're in hybridized bodies and have hybridized souls, if you will. We have so many people having contact, seeing spirits, seeing and having experiences again in dreams and meditations, there's definitely something happening on this planet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're
Definitely.
going through a great change. A great
Yes.
change.
Yes. And so many people talk about the shift and they talk about the event and they talk about, this wonderful consciousness raising experience. And I've often wondered, yes, that may be true, but it's also happening, in pods of people. It's happening in cities. It's happening in countries. And everyone, I believe, just like you said, as you raise your vibration, that goes out. I think I read, and I can't remember where it was, but it said that one star seed can affect the vibration of 1,000 people around them and help to elevate their consciousness. And so I don't know about you, but I'm really excited where I think all of this is headed to. And, the excitement being more and more people waking up to the fact that we are eternal beings, that we have, our souls. This is just our vehicle for this time around. It's kind of like our car. And more people are waking up to that. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of people are talking more aware and I would say integrating with a greater soul, for sure, for sure. I would actually like to say, though, that I think that the event that we're reaching out towards, which is that greater connection, I think that's already happened, but it's a matter of us letting go of the old way of being. And I don't know how people do that, but I do it through meditation and connecting to nature through that. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, I want to circle back real quick to your podcast
Yeah,
because
sure.
I know that you have, some fascinating people on there. And I'm wondering if you are seeing any type of thread that's kind of weaved together through all of these conversations.
The greatest thread that I'm seeing through these conversation is how people in releasing their trauma are able to have a greater experience of life. And I'm also seeing that it's like the whole world is being healed in a greater sort of way. And there's so many great people out there that I've talked to and I'm yet to talk to too. And every time I talk to somebody, it's actually helped me to see the world in a different sort of way, which is really cool.
Awesome.
And yeah, and also at other times, it's also reinforcing what I see as true too. And yeah, I have a firm belief in where we're all going for sure. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have come to this planet.
Right, absolutely. And it is an exciting time to be here, that's for sure.
Yeah. For sure, for
Yeah.
sure. I'm certain we all actually read our travel brochure and went, "Oh, that looks like a good life." Then pop, we're a baby, you know.
I have people to say, I can't believe that I would have chosen to come to a planet like this. There's death, there's illness, there's war, there's this, there's that. And I'm like, and yes, and there's beauty and nature and friendship and love and all of these things. And I said, plus, forever is a long time. Where else can you go to have such a dichotomy of experience or such beautiful eye candy around, whether it's the beaches or the mountains, the beautiful flowers and the animals? I think this planet is just, simply spectacular. So I'm sure
Absolutely.
there's lots of souls wanting to come here.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing I wanted to ask you. With everything that you've experienced in your life, do you have any tips that our audience can take away from this conversation about, maybe whether it's meditation or being open to, receive what's out there? Do you have any kind of special tips or little mottos that you live by?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So the world is, or the universe itself is always going to be communicating to you what you need to evolve. And I found by just simply stopping and being at peace with myself turning off the phone or putting it in another room and taking that time just to sit quietly and find that center sort of place. And then once you've found that center sort of place, letting go of the idea of what that center is, then yeah, it can actually make space for that extra sensory sort of perception to pop in, the extra understanding of the universe to pop in. And yeah, you'll find a greater sense of being and a greater sense of connection to everything.
Great. Now, hey, for people that want to check out your podcast or learn a little bit more about you, or maybe even reach out to contact you, how can they do that?
They can do that really easily. Supernormalized.com is the website, and on that is all the links to all the different podcast apps. Or you can just search for Supernormalize on your podcast app. That's the best way to go. And if you wanted to write to me directly, it's Supernormalized, and that's at proton.me.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Okay,
Thank you.
everybody. You've been listening to CJ Barnaby on the Conscious Awakening Series podcast, broadcast on the Conscious Awakening Network. So please check us out at theconsciousawakeningnetwork.org and sign up to be on our mailing list so you do not miss any of these spectacular speakers that are here to share with you. So until next time, I want to thank you for joining us and have a blessed day. Namaste, everyone.